Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanking God this morning for a brand new day. Thanking God for the do-over. Hallelujah. He has given us another opportunity to be good, to be better, to be the best we can be. Hallelujah. So I thank God this morning for each of you joining me as we move forward in the word. And all I can say is it is a good word today. As you know, it is Friday. And on Friday, we do 3 days of words in the Old Testament. And on Sunday, we'll do 3 days of word in the New Testament because Saturday is my day off from Blog Talk. It's my day of rest, rejuvenation, and getting into the word with just me and God and listening it and absorbing myself what I need to hear. So I thank God, all of you listening in, and thanking God for so many that I listen to and I follow that pour into me. So thanking God for all of you out there that are just awesome, mighty women of God and men of God. So thanking God for the do-over today. And praying that today will be better than yesterday. And lifting up the name of Jesus this morning. So let us pray as we get ready to go into a fairly long word. Because we are in Jeremiah chapter 43 to chapter 48 today. And if time permits, we will go into Psalms 119. In our proverb word, we will try to get in also today from Proverbs chapter 28. But we will see how everything else goes, and we'll go from there. So I thank God again for all of you joining me this morning. Let's get started. Father God in heaven, I am so thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be called to read your word and teach your word and study your word, Lord God. I thank you for this time of meditation where we look at your word and study it and read it and hope that it permeates minds and hearts and spirits, Lord, that we all have history, and history is this story, his story, your story, our story, Lord God, which is called this basic instruction before leaving earth. Lord, I thank you for this Bible. I thank you for Dr. Charles Stanley and the use of this word today, Lord God, as we have studied your word from Genesis to Revelation, your will be done, Lord God, that whoever listens receives a word that they need. But Lord, we know that history unknown is history repeated. Father God, help us not to be stiff-necked and hard-headed. Help us to be the best we can be, which is your daughters and sons, to love you, Lord God, as you love us. Because you, Father, are in charge of everything. You are the one that brings the sun up in the east and sets it in the west. You are the one that gives us the moon and the stars to view at night and the light that comes from them. You are the one, Lord God, that gave us breath when we came out of the womb and created us and knitted us in the womb. Father God, we pray this morning, Lord God, that this word be acceptable in your sight, Father God. For Lord God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my father and I am your daughter. And I am open to receive whatever it is you want me to speak, Father God. Increase as I decrease. And I thank you this morning, Father God, that you gave me a Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. And it's on his word that I stand open and ready to receive. The Holy Spirit has to speak through me from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lifting up the name of Jesus this morning and allowing God to work in us all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for waking me up this morning. Hallelujah. And I pray that you all got a pep in your step, because I'm going to tell you right now, I am so excited, because the word that God gave me this morning for our title is God's Word is True. It can't be changed nor diminished. God's Word is true. It can't be changed nor diminished. Jeremiah the prophet was tough. He was all that. And when he said it, what he said always came true. You know, folks want to do it. They want to do. They ask your opinion and do what they want to do. Now, in the case of yesterday, as we were studying in Jeremiah, we know that Jeremiah was asked to pray to God, to ask God, you know, what should we do? You know, whatever God says to do, we're going to do it. They were doing was setting Jeremiah up, because they had already made a decision on what they were going to do. They already knew they were going into Egypt. They already knew that that was their decision, not God's decision, but their decision. And so what Jeremiah told them, that they should stay in Jerusalem and that they should do what they needed to do there, they told him it was a lie. And now, understand, he went on a fast and prayed 10 days. And, you know, so I'm going back into chapter 42 before we get into 43 again, just so we all got it in context of what's going on in the situation, in case you were not with us on yesterday. And it says in chapter 42, verse 7, and it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And remember, again, God's word is true. It can't be changed nor diminished. And it goes on to tell us, then he called Johanan, the son of Kira, and the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him, if you will still remain in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought upon you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, say no, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for the bread, and there we will dwell. Then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt and go to dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. The famine of which you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. Jeremiah prayed. God gave an answer. But again, they weren't wanting to hear that. They weren't wanting to hear the truth. They had already made up their mind on what they were going to do before they opened their mouths to ask Jeremiah to seek God for them. And this is what Jeremiah tells them in 18, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt. You shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. The Lord has said concerning you, O remnant Judah, do not go to Egypt. Now, how many times can somebody tell you don't do something? This prophet told him, don't go to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. And then it goes on to say, because Jeremiah, again, is a prophet. So he already knew before they even asked. He said, and then he's going to tell them this, but you were hypocrites in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord your God says, so declare to us, and we will do it. And I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God or anything which he has sent you by me. Now, therefore, know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine, by pestilence, in the place where you desire to go to dwell. And this is a life lesson that Dr. Stanley gave us in yesterday's lesson. So you were hypocrites in your heart, that chapter 42:20 of Jeremiah. It says, before these men ever acted on their deception, Jeremiah openly revealed their hearts. We may fool others, but we do not fool God. We can never manipulate him into giving us what we want. And they had already tried to manipulate. They were trying to manipulate God. Now, understand now, they're going to take everybody. Like, we know we did wrong, but hey, it is what it is. We're going to Egypt. Because, again, they think they bigger, better, tougher, stronger than God. Again, you can't outgive God, and you can't pull a okey-doke on God. Because God is in charge of what? Everything. And what is the word? What does the word tell us? He does what he pleases. Not what we ask, but what he pleases. If God pleases to bless you, you will be blessed immeasurably. If God chooses to let you take a minute to think about some things and to clean up some messes, so then he will give you a message that you will not be able to hold. That's what he does. From my messes come a whole lot of messages. But God loves us like that, and he wants the best for us. So let's get into the word, because now we got the backdrop of what's getting ready to happen. You know, these guys are men of war, but they think they know more than God. Now, God has sent them a word, just any prophet, through a great prophet. This is what Jeremiah, this is what happened. It says, now it happened when Jeremiah had stopped speaking to all the people, all the words of the Lord, their God, for which the Lord, their God, had sent him to them. All these words that Azariah, the son of Hashiah, Johanan, the son of Korah, and all the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, you speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, do not go to Egypt, to dwell there, but Baruch, the son of Nerah, has sent you against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they may put us to death or carry us away captive to Babylon. So Johanan the son of Korah and all the captains of the forces and all the people would not obey the voice of the Lord to remain in the land of Judah. But Johanan the son of Korah and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah who had returned to dwell in the land of Judah from all nations where they had been driven, men, women, children, kings, daughters, and every person who never Zeradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Akam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Nerah. So they went to the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord, and they went as far as Taphon. Now, you're going to go and do what you want to do. And that's what they did. And not only do you do what you want to do, but you force other folks to do it too. And then it said, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in tap bandits, saying, take large stones in your hand and hide them in the sight of the men of Judah, in the clay, in the brick courtyard, which is at the entrance to Pharaoh's house, in Tapanhes, and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will and bring Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne above these stones that I have hidden, and he will spread the royal pavilion over them. When he comes, he shall strike the land of Egypt and deliver to them those appointed for death, and to the captivity those appointed for captivity, and to the sword those appointed for the sword. I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captive. And he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd puts on his garments, and he shall go out from there in peace. He shall also break the sacred pillars of Beth Shemesh and are in the land of Egypt, and the house of the gods of the Egyptians he shall burn with fire. A life lesson from chapter 43, verses 5 and 6. And we're going to go back to verses 5 and 6. For Jehanan, the son of Korah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah who had returned to dwell in the land of Judah, all nations where they had been driven, men, women, children, the king's daughters, and every person whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Akam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Nera. And it says this, Jeremiah told the remnant not to move to Egypt, but they disobeyed and moved there anyway and took him along for the ride. He suffered for their disobedience by faith. He had nothing else. Jeremiah expected God to vindicate him. When you tell the truth, you don't have to worry about what's done in the dark, because the truth is the truth, and that's that. You know, because what's done in the dark always comes to light. And folks will say that not understanding. They dirt is coming out too. Understand, we all got dirt. We got some dirty closets. And as you sit there poking at somebody's back, remember that big old plank hanging out of your own eye. And as we go to 44, chapter 44 of Jeremiah says, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews who dwell in the land of Egypt, who dwell at Migdal, at Tapanhes, at Nopha, and in the country of Petros, saying, thus says the Lord, the host, the God of Israel, you have seen all the calamity that I have brought on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no one dwells in them because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they did not know, they nor you nor your fathers. However, I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising, sending them, saying, oh, do not do this abominable thing that I hate. But they did not listen or incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense to other gods. So my fury and my anger were poured out and kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as it is this day. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, why do you commit this great evil against yourselves to cut off from you man and woman, child and infant out of Judah, leaving none to remain, in that you provoke me to wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense to other gods in the land of Egypt where you have gone to dwell, that you may cut yourselves off and be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth? Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, the wickedness of the kings of Judah, the wickedness of their wives, your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives, which they committed to the land in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. They have not been humbled to this day, nor have they feared. They have not walked in my law or in my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for catastrophe and for cutting off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah who have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to dwell there, and they shall be but consumed and fall in the land of Judah. In the land of Egypt, excuse me, they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine. They shall die from the least to the greatest by the sword and by famine, and they shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach. For I will punish those who dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. So that none of the remnant of Judah who have gone into the land of Egypt to dwell there shall escape or survive, lest they return to the land of Judah to which they desire to return and dwell. For none shall return except those who escape. Wow. All the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by a great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt in Patros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. But we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her as we have done. We and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we have plenty of food, were well off, and saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. The women also said, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, and did we make cakes for her to worship her and pour out drink offerings to her without our husband's permission? Then Jeremiah spoke to all the people, the men and the women, and all the people who had given him that answer, saying, the incense that you burned in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And did it not come into his mind? So the Lord could no longer bear it because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you committed. Therefore, your land, desolation and astonishment, are cursed and without inhabitants, as it is this day, because you have burnt incense and because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, are walked in his law, in his statutes, or in his testimonies. Therefore, this calamity has happened to you as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, who are in the land of Egypt. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have spoken with your mouth and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely keep our vows that we have made to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her. You will surely keep your vows and perform your vows. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, who dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God lives. Behold, I will watch over them for adversity and not for good. And all the men of Judah who are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is an end to them. Yet a small number who escape the sword shall return from the land of Egypt to the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah who have gone to the land of Egypt to dwell there shall know whose words will stand, mine or theirs, and this shall be a sign to you, says the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my words will surely stand against you for adversity. Says the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh hope for king of Egypt into the hand of his enemies and into the hand of those who seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, who sought his life. Wow. Mm. Don't play with God. What he says he's going to do, he's going to do it. And this is a life lesson for chapter 44, verse 4. Do not do this abominable thing that I hate. We never have to wonder whether something we're considering might have been or anger God. He goes all out of his way to make his will clear to us. Will we listen carefully for what he says? Come on now. We got to trust God, because folks will lie to you, have you all confused, and the next thing you know, you're sitting there in regret because you're like, Lord, why did I do that, and why did you let me? I thought you said that was the right thing to do, to make mistakes and mess up so he can help you clean up. And then he gives you double for your trouble, because he wants to teach us to trust in him, that everything will work out for our good if we just have patience. Patience is a key. So many times we get impatient with God. We get impatient with whatever it is going on. Lord, I need to do this. Lord, I want this. Lord, I. And all he says is, peace be still. So wait on me, and I will keep you in perfect peace. And your mind is stayed on me. We got to keep our mind stayed on God. We got to make the scriptures personal and make his word personal. These people knew they were doing wrong. They knew it. Pouring incense to the Queen of Heaven, really? You know that's paganism. You know that's worshiping a false idol. You know that's going against all the commandments that God gave us. Thou shalt have no other God, and I can say goddess, before me. Thou shalt have no other God before me, is what the word of God tells us. And they were out there just worshiping their little happy selves up, having a good time, all messed up and tore up from the floor up. And as we continue, chapter 45 of Jeremiah, the word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, the son of Nero, when he had written these words in a book, at the instruction of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Baruch. You said, woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sight, and I find no rest. Thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built I will break down, and what I have planted I will pluck up, that this whole land. And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them. For behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord. But I will give your life to you as a prize in all places wherever you go. Because remember, this, he was the scribe for Jeremiah. When, you know, the king burnt up the first scroll, Jeremiah came back, and it was this young man who rewrote it for him, everything that God needed to be said, this instruction before leaving earth here that we call a Bible, this basic instruction. Baruch is the one that wrote it for Jeremiah. That's why everybody thinks it was him telling Jeremiah what to do, when in fact Jeremiah was just telling him to write what thus says the Lord as the scribe. And as we get into chapter 46, the word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah, a prophet, against the nations, against Egypt. And I'm sure the Egyptians was like, why are they going to bring all this trouble over here? Because, you know, that's what they did. They brought all their calamity to Egypt with them and caused Egypt to have their problems because of these folks. You know, come on now. Let's keep it moving. Concern the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, and whose Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, defeated in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Ordered a buckler and shield and draw near to battle. Harness the horses and mount up your horsemen. Stand forth with your helmets. Polish the spears. Put on the armor. Why have I seen them dismayed and turned back? Their mighty ones are beaten down. They have speedily fled and did not look back, for fear was all around, says the Lord. Do not let the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. They will stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Who is this coming up like a flood, whose waters move like the rivers? Egypt rises up like a flood, and its waters move like the rivers. And he says, I will go up and cover the earth. I will destroy the city and its inhabitants. Come up, O horses, and rage, O chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans who handle the shield, and the Lydians who handle the bend, who handle and bend the bow. But this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge himself on his adversaries. The sword shall devour. It shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts has a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up to Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain you will use many medicines. You shall not be cured. The nations have heard of Yeshayim, and their cry has filled, and your cry has filled the land. For the mighty man has stumbled against the mighty. They both have fallen together. The word of the Lord spoke to Jeremiah the prophet how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, would come and strike the land of Egypt, declare in Egypt and proclaim in Migdol, proclaim to Napa and Tapet, says, stand fast and prepare yourselves, for the sword devours all around you. Why are you bowing me and swept away? They did not stand because the Lord drove them away. He made many fall. Yes, one fell upon another, and they said, arise, let us go back to our own people and to the land of our nativity. From the oppressing sword, they cry there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He has passed by the appointed time. As I live, says the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains and Carmel by the sea, so he shall come. O you daughter dwelling in Egypt, prepare yourself to go into captivity, for Noah shall be waste and desolate without inhabitants. Egypt is a very pretty heifer, but destruction comes. It comes from the north. Also our mercenaries are in her midst like fat bulls, for they also are turned back. They have fled away together. They did not stand, for the day of their calamity had come upon them, the time of their punishment. Her noise shall be like a serpent, for they shall march with an army and come against her with axes like those who chop wood. They shall cut down her force, says the Lord, though it cannot be searched, because they are innumerable and more numerous than grasshoppers. The daughter of Egypt shall be ashamed. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, behold, I will bring punishment on Ammon of No, and on Pharaoh and Egypt and their gods and their kings, Pharaoh and those who trust in him, and I will deliver them into the hand of those who seek their lives, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, in the hand of his servants. Afterwards, it shall be inhabited as in the days of old, says the Lord. But do not fear, O my servant Jacob, and do not be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar and your offspring from the land of captivity. Jacob shall return and have rest. Be at ease. No one shall make him afraid. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, says the Lord, for I am with you. For I will make a complete end of all the nations to which I have driven you, but I will not make a complete end of you. I will rightly correct you, for I will not leave you wholly unpunished. What God says he will do, he does. Again, as we go back to chapter 45, verse 5, I will give your light to you as a prize in all places, wherever you go. And it says, as he did with bear the life of Jeremiah's servant, Baruch, wanted more. We must remember that God has a distinct plan for each of us, and our best is always God's best for us. God gives you double for your trouble, as Job. Come on now. God will never leave you or forsake you, but he will do as he said he will do. He will do as he said he will do. And what did he tell him? Do not fear, chapter 46, verse 28. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, says the Lord, for I am with you. Did he not say that to us in Joshua? I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you until till the end of days. Didn't he tell us that? And so we have to stand on that word. As he said, do not fear. Because in Jeremiah, in Joshua, he tells us to be strong and courageous. Do not fear. O Jacob, my servant, says the Lord, for I am with you, for I will make a complete end of all the nations to which I have driven you, but I will not make a complete end of you. I will rightly correct you, for I will not leave you wholly unpunished. And as we go into the life lesson for that word, it says, if God feels a heart, then fear has no place to make a home there. The storms of life may whistle and howl around us, but when God is with us, we have no reason to fear their threats. God will bring you through the storms of life. He has brought me through. He will bring you through too, because he loves us like that. We are his children, but all he asks of us is to follow him, is to trust in him, to trust in his word, and trust in whatever he says he will do, that he will do it. God's word is true. It can't be changed nor diminished. God is in charge. And when we let him be in charge, everything else will fall into place. When we follow and do what he says do. Hallelujah. I'm grateful to God today that he has given us this word. And as we go into chapter 47 of the book of Jeremiah, the prophet is teaching this morning, and he is showing out and showing up for the Lord. And then it says again, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, the prophet, against the Philistines before Pharaoh attacks Gaza. Thus says the Lord, behold, waters rise out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood. They shall overflow the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell within. Then the men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land shall wail at the noise of the stomping hooves of his strong horses, at the rushing of his chariots, at the rumbling of his wheels. The fathers will not look back for their children, lacking courage, because of the day that comes to plunder all the Philistines, to cut off from Tyre and Sidon every apple who remains. For the Lord shall plunder the Philistines, the remnant of the country of Cape Fertar. Baalness, one Gaza, Echelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long will you cut yourself? Oh, you sword of the Lord, how long until you are quiet? Put yourself up into your scabbard. Rest and be still. How can it be quiet, seeing the Lord has given it a charge against Ashkelon and against the seashore? There he has appointed it. chapter 48 of Jeremiah, against Moab. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, woe to Nebo, for it is plundered. Karjazim is shamed and taken. The high stronghold is shamed and dismayed. No more praise of Moab. In Hashbon, they have devised evil against her. Come and let us cut her off as a nation. You also shall be cut down, O madmen. The sword shall pursue you. A voice of crying shall be from Heronim, plundering and great destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused her cry to be heard. But in the action of Luthit, they ascend with continual weeping. For the descent of Heronim, the enemies have heard the cry of destruction. Flee, save your life, and be like the juniper in the wilderness. For because you have trusted in your works and your treasures, you also shall be taken, and Chemosh shall be go forth into captivity, his priests and his princes together, and the plunderer shall come against every city. No one shall escape. The valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, as the Lord has spoken. Give wings to Moab, that she may flee and get away, for her cities shall be desolate, without any to dwell in them. Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed is he who keeps back his sword from blood. That's a highlightable. Don't be deceitful calling yourself doing what you're doing for God when all it is a money maker. God's got your back, but God also sees your front. He knows everything about us, from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet, and everything in between knows us. And don't play with God. As he said, cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. And cursed is he who keeps back his sword from blood. Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his dregs and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remained in him, and his sin has not changed. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. That I shall send him wine workers who will tip him over and empty his vessels and break the bottles. Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh, as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel, their confidence. How can you say, we are mighty and strong men for the war? Moab is plundered and gone up from her cities. Her chosen young men have gone down to the slaughter, says the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. The calamity of Moab is near at hand, and his affliction comes quickly. Bemoan him, all you who are around him, and all you who know his name. Say, how the strong staff, the beautiful rod, O daughter inhabiting Debon, come down from your glory and sit in thirst. For the plunderer of Moab has come against you. He has destroyed your stronghold. O inhabitants of Aura, stand by the way and watch. Ask him who flees, and her who escapes, says, what has happened? Moab is shamed, for he is broken down, wail and cry, till it in Arnon, and Moab is plundered. And judgment has come on the plain country, Holon, and Jazai, Mephibosheth, and Dagon, and Nebo, and Beth, Debilathan, and Karjaham, and Ben-Gamul, and Beth-Meon, O Kiras and Vodra, on all the cities of the land of Moab, far and near, the horn of Moab is cut off, and his arm is broken, says the Lord. Make him drunk, because he exalted himself against the Lord. Moab shall swallow in his vomit, and he shall also be in derision. For was not Israel a derision to you? Was he found among these? But whenever you speak of him, you shake your head in scorn. Who will dwell in Moab? Leave the city and dwell in the rocks, and be like the dove, her nest, in the sides of the caves of mouth. In the cave's mouth, we have heard the pride of Moab. He is exceedingly proud of his loftiness and arrogance and pride, and of the haughtiness of his heart. I know his wrath, says the Lord, but it is not right. His lies are made nothing, as his lies have made nothing right. Therefore, I will wail for Moab, and I will cry out for all Moab. I will mourn for the men of Kir-Hareseth. O vine of Shema, I will weep for you with the weeping of Jazar. Your plants have gone over the sea. They reach to the sea of Jazar. The plunder has fallen on your summer fruit and your vintage. Joy and gladness are taken from the plentiful field. And from the land of Moab, I have caused wine to fall from the wine presses. No one will tread with joyous shouting, not joyous shouting. From the cry of Ashbon to Eliad and to Jahaz, they have uttered their voice from Zor to Haranim, like a three-year-old heifer, for the waters of Nimrim also shall be desolate. Over, says the Lord, I will cause to cease in Moab the one who offers sacrifices in the high places and burns incense to his gods. Therefore my heart shall wail like flutes for Moab, and like flutes for my heart shall wail for the men of Kir-Hareseth. Therefore the riches they have acquired have perished. For every head shall be bald, and every beard clipped. On all the hands shall be cut, and on the lion and the lion's claw, the loin's claw, sackcloth, and on the loin's sackcloth. And I'm going to read that again. It says, for every head shall be bald, because remember they like the hair, and every beard clipped. On all the hands shall be cut, and on the loins sackcloth. A general lamentation on all the housetops of Moab and in its streets. For I have broken Moab like a vessel in which is no pleasure, says the Lord. They shall wail how she is broken down, how Moab has turned her back with shame. For Moab shall be a derision and a dismay to all those about her. But thus says the Lord, behold, one shall fly like an eagle and spread his wings over Moab. Kiroth is taken, and the strongholds are surprised. The mighty men's hearts in Moab on the day shall be like the heart of a woman in birth pains. And Moab shall be destroyed as a people because he exalted himself against the Lord. Fear and the pit and the snare shall be upon you. O inhabitant of Moab, says the Lord, he who flees from the fear shall fall into the pit, and he who gets out of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For upon Moab, upon it, I will bring the year of your punishment, says the Lord. Those who flee stood under the shadow of Heshbon because of exhaustion, but a fire shall come out of Heshbon, a flame from the midst of Sihon, and shall devour the brow of Moab, the crown of the head of the sons of Talmud. Woe to you, O Moab, the people of Chemosh perish, for the sons have been taken captive and their daughters captive. Yet I will bring back the captives of Moab in the latter days, says the Lord. Thus far is judgment of Moab. So Jeremiah wasn't just prophesying against Israel or Judah. He was prophesying against the whole region, against Egypt, against Moab, against the Philistines. He was prophesying the whole kit and caboodle, because God does not play. What God says he will do. For God's word is true. It can't be diminished. And it goes on to tell us in Jeremiah 48:42, Moab shall be destroyed as a people because he exalted himself against the Lord. This is what Dr. Stanley says. God always judges pride, always, whether he finds the arrogance and pride in the hearts of an angel, Satan, a man, Nebuchadnezzar, or a nation, Moab. He will always judge it. He has no rivals. And all we can say is, thanks be to God who watches over his children. But understand, again, as God gave me this morning, God's word is true. It can't be changed nor diminished. Folks want to come and change the word of God. You can't do it. God's word is God's word. And when we stand on that word, we know that God is in charge. That's why he gave us this word, so that we will not follow after false prophets, false teachers, that we will stand up and listen to what God says, not what I say, but what God says. That's why I read the word of God, not mine, God's word. And when we go to our Proverbs for today, it says this in Proverbs 28:3, a poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain which leaves no food. Did y'all catch that? A poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain which leaves no food. 28:4, those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contends with them. That's a word for today. That's a highlightable for what's going on now all over the world. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. We hear it every day. Folks loving, folks that they know are lying and cheating. You know they lied. You know they cheated. You know they're doing stuff that's just not of God. But we'll try to guise it up as that they are men and women of God. Again, those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. And some just have to contend with the foolishness, but understand and know that God will take our charge of everything, because this is what the word says. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. Because understand, evil men don't understand that their day will come, that you've got away with something. You haven't got away with anything. That is all I have for this morning. That is all that God has given me in his word. On Sunday, we will be in our Psalms and our New Testament words. And we'll be coming out of Psalm 119, verses 97 through 120. So Psalm 119, verse 97 through verse 120 is what we'll have on Sunday. God willing, we'll also be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3, and 4. And then we will be starting a whole new month on next Monday. Wow. It's flying by. It is flying by. So I thank you all for listening in this morning. As I continue to ask you to keep my family in your prayers, especially my father-in-law, who many know is still in the hospital, still dealing with some of the after effects of COVID. So I ask you to please continue to keep him in your prayers. Thank you so much, family, for listening in this morning. I appreciate you. I thank God for you, and I pray that everything works out in your life, in your ministries, in whatever it is that you are doing for God. Just know that he's got you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, that you are his and he has you all bundled up in his loving wings. You don't have to worry about the harsh weather because you are covered by God and by the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. And just remember, as you go through that, God's word is true. It can't be changed nor diminished. So what God has for you is for you. Can't nobody take your blessings. Can't nobody move you out of what belongs to you, because God has given it to you, and he will not allow anyone to take it away. So I thank God this morning. Thank you, God, for you. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ this morning, and that word is this. Faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who, can y'all say it with me, holds your future. And I'm going to say that again, because that's just a word that we all need for this weekend. Faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds your future. Have a faith-filled Friday, family. And know that God is in charge. And I'm just reading it one more time for the Holy Spirit. Faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds your future. Thank you so much. be blessed. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed because you are highly favored by God. Know who you are. Know who you belong to. And know that he has all things controlled. Be blessed, family. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward. It's a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work. And who do we work for? We work for God. Wherever you go today, you are at work. When you smile at someone, you are at work. When you give a hand, you are at work. When you give a heart, you are at work. When you give love, you are at work. When you have all the fruit of the Spirit, you are at work because we work for God. Thank you so much for listening in this morning again. And may God watch over you and bless you in all your endeavors. Have a wonderful day. It's a wrap. And this time, as we preach and say, this is my second and final closing. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap.